All right, all right, all right. Love Welcome back, radio. Everyone. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everyone. This is Tawanda with another chance to bridge the gap, and we're back again today with a very special guest. And before we actually introduce her and kind of get into our topic for today, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been listening to our talk show over the last couple of weeks. We started this right when the coronavirus hit because our goal was to make sure that we could keep families aware of what was happening with the coronavirus and what was happening with the coronavirus in relation to their loved ones in prison. And there's been so much information that we've been sharing over the last few weeks, and we want to continue to do that. If you plug into our talk show daily, we're going to talk about all types of hot topics. Our goal is to bridge the gap between men and women in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. We know that when we know better, we can do better. And our goal is to be able to help bridge that gap. Also, we are another chance to take advantage of a missed opportunity and become another chance to mend faults and wrongs. We're here to be a part of the solution and not the problem. As you hear and realize so many different things that are going on in the world today, and you hear topics from A to Z, so if there's ever anything that you're curious about that you want to know more information on, you think, hey, I think this is a good topic, I'd love to hear what the public has to say, contact us. Contact us and say, hey, I'd love to hear about this on your show, and we can definitely see how we can be able to accommodate and do that. All right, so today we have a guest. This is a young lady that has a really amazing story. I'm not going to steal any of her thunder. I'm going to let her share it. However, I do want to say that she's someone that I met a couple of years ago through the computer. And, you know, I've heard this before, and I believe it to be true, that the best things about meeting online is the opportunity to meet offline. And I'm looking so forward to our offline opportunity of meeting face-to-face, even though we're going to have to practice social distancing, because we know that we're still going through some things right now with the pandemic. But without further ado, I have Ms. Lori Brown on the line. Lori, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. How are you doing today, lady?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and even better since I get to talk to you for more than 15 minutes.
Yes, yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm getting adjusted to not having a 15-minute limit to emailing.
I know, I know. Oh, wait a minute, it was 15 minutes on the phone and only 15 minutes to email?
Yes.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Okay, you learn something new every day.
Yes.
All right, so listen.
Yes.
And I was going to tell you something, but yeah, welcome home. Like, literally, welcome home, home, home. All right, Lori, so we're going to jump straight into it. You're welcome. You're welcome. And I want you to tell everyone, because I know people are wondering right now, who in the world is this? What is Tawanda talking about? So tell us a little about yourself. Who is Lori Brown? Talk to us.
I am a 55-year-old African-American woman. I was born and raised in Meridian, Mississippi. I moved to Atlanta, Georgia during my early years, in my early 20s. From that point on, I married and relocated with my first husband, John Jackson, to Albany, Georgia. That didn't go too well, so I divorced him, relocated back to Atlanta, Georgia. When I relocated back to Atlanta, Georgia, I was working at a warehouse, and a lady asked me to, would I do a party for her, and I told her yes. And because I did the party for her and cleaned up really well, she asked me, would I begin cleaning her house? So that one opportunity there of cleaning her house led me to decide, this may be something I can turn into a business. So I created Jackson Cleaning Service at that time and began cleaning houses while I was in Atlanta. Then years later, I met my second husband, and he was from Florida, so I relocated to Florida. That marriage fell apart, didn't work. So I relocate back to Atlanta again. It seems like Atlanta's always my stomping ground. We also moved out in Dallas, Texas as well, and I pursued and still had my cleaning business out in Dallas, Texas. So when I moved back to Atlanta, my niece Keisha Allen always have been my backbone. She has always been in my corner from day one. So when things don't work out for me, I can always call her up in Atlanta, and she's like, come on, I got a room for you. You know you can always stay with me. So I got my cleaning business started back again, and then I met my current husband that I have now, Mr. Randy Brown, best husband in the world. So anyway, we changed the name of the business from Jackson Cleaning to Strictly Business Cleaning. So we operated the business for a while, 2 or 3 years, and at that time, that was during the time when a lot of Hispanics was coming over and everything, and they began to get into the cleaning field, and it kind of weaned our way out of it. So we just decided, okay, this enough is enough. We're going to let this go. Moving on a little further of kind of like what led me to winding up in prison, a friend of mine called me up one day and told me that a new lady was in town from New York, and she had a tax business. And he told me to come on down because since I had a business, she can get us some big money.
Well, hold up. You're trying to go from number one and number two, and I got questions about a few things that you said now. And that's the thing about us as women. Sometimes we like to kind of go a little too fast and not give me a chance. Let's just stop at number one before we get to number two. So
okay. You
said you have been married two other times.
Yes.
Wow. So third time is truly the charm, huh?
The third time is it. That's it. God already, like he say, I know the plans I have for you. If I would have set myself down and asked him his plan, I probably wouldn't have had one and two. I did it my way. When you do it your way, it's never going to work.
Mm-hmm,
you got to get that wisdom
that
from God
sense.
For everything to fall in place.
Absolutely.
I didn't do that. That third time, I did do that.
Absolutely. I saw a movie one time and a girl said, hey, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. So third time's a charm. And then basically you're from Alabama and Atlanta's you're from Mississippi. Okay. Alabama. Mississippi is where you're originally from. Okay.
Right.
And then you lived in Atlanta a couple different times. You lived in Florida and you lived in Texas and now you're back in Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay. So Atlanta is your home away from home. Like everywhere you've been,
yes,
you kind of ended up back. Okay. That's really interesting. Okay. I knew some of that, but not all of that. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right. Now, let me go on to the second question. Yeah, let's just kind of go one at a time so I make sure I get to ask you a couple of questions. I don't want to let anything get away because we've been planning this for a while. So now that you're home, it's all about action, right?
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
All right, number two.
Absolutely.
And it's all about action. So number two, talk to me a little bit about, you mentioned prison. So what led you to prison and what did you learn from being there? So I'm asking two questions in one. And of course, we're definitely not about anything about judgment. I want you to share your story because I know it's going to help someone else. So talk to us about what led you to prison and what did you learn from being there?
Okay, and when you mentioned the part about judgment, that part doesn't bother me because, see, I know who I am within myself. And this prison experience with the Federal Prison Bureau, I know for a fact that was God for me. Had I not went through the federal system, I would not be as passionate as I am of being an advocate to help end mass incarceration and bring more people home. So it was definitely going to be something that he had to get my attention on in the midst of the fire. I couldn't have been outside the fire and looked on the outside looking in. I had to be on the inside to where I could feel the fire and develop that passion to say enough is enough. Somebody has to take a stand, and somebody has help bring this change and let the world know what's really going on. So what led me to this position is, like I said, I had a friend that called me up about a lady coming from New York that had a business, a tax business. She was catering to business owners. So if you come to her, you had a business, she can get you a lot of money. But she wanted you to bring other people too. So when I went and met with her, when she told me the money that she can get back, I immediately called several other people that I knew in business and said, hey, look, this lady can get us X amount of money. I'm seeing checks coming in. You might want to get with her. So I probably referred maybe 30, 40 people to her just by word of mouth. Well, we didn't know the extent of what she was doing to get the money, but I can't really talk too much on it on the air because they are trying to put some other things together. But all I can say is it definitely was tax fraud, and we all was caught up with it. And because I was linked to her, I was found guilty. So okay. I was sentenced to 51 months in federal prison. I served my time at FCI Aliceville, and that's in Aliceville, Alabama. That's where you get to Alabama from.
Okay, okay, okay. Absolutely. Now, you were sentenced to 51 months. Did you actually serve all 51 months?
No. I just got out yesterday, and May 24th will give me 3 years to the door.
Okay, okay, all right. Now, while being there, sentenced to 51 months, you did about 36 months. What were some of the things you learned from being there? That's part number two. I know so much.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yes, it is. It is so much. For number one, there are good people in prison. I want to say that to anybody that's listening on here. Don't judge a person by being in prison as a bad person. My mom always taught me, everybody makes mistakes. Anybody listening to this, you have made a mistake. Like some of the officers used to tell me, we made mistakes, we just didn't get caught. You guys got caught. We didn't get caught, but we made a mistake. Don't judge a person because of what they've been through. There is just so much potential and so many people that's in prison until it's mind-blowing. And being there, it just really opened my eyes to a lot of different things. I mean, sometimes I have been judgmental before even going in there, but it opened my eyes to, okay, these are people. They have people. They made a mistake, but who's going to give them a second chance? It's hard to get a second chance when you leave prison, when you have that record that I'm a felon, that somebody want to open the door for you and say, okay, what do you want? They most of the time they shut you down because that word felon, ex-convict, that just shuts the door for any opportunity that you can have. So me being in there, I got to talk to so many women, sit them down, learn, teach them. Like I said, I'm 55 years old. So I was able to teach a lot of women some things that they didn't have mothers coming up. Moms might have been on drugs or doing other sorts of things. So they didn't have a role model. So I was able to be a role model for a lot of young women, and it brought us closer together. We became family. We came together in unity. So with that experience there, I thank God for that, because if he had to allow me to go to a prison to use me to strengthen and help better another woman to know her worth, that to me, that's living. That's life for me. That's living just right there. When I walked out that door that morning, women were crying. And I'm like, why are you guys crying? They're like, we don't want you to leave. And for somebody to say that to you, I mean, my goodness, you don't want me to leave. I got to go. I want to go. I'm ready to go. But just to know that you made that type of impact on somebody, just to know that somebody said, thank God for you because I changed my life. That means a lot to me. The things that experiences that we go through on a day-to-day, it's really rough. It's not as rough as you guys see on television. I mean, we don't have, like in men prisons, we don't have all the shanks with the stabbings and all of that, but we do have the fight, yes. At that particular prison, there's a lot of drugs. At that particular prison, you got a lot of lesbians. So you're going to have fights, women-girlfriend fights. That's all the time. Drug problems, that's all the time. But most of my day was spent, I took it as I'm at a college campus and I'm going to learn whatever God wants me to learn so that I can get out of here and be better so I can help equip these women to come out and be better. So that's what I did by my day. I went to the law library every day. I read papers, magazines. I talked to people. I educated people, and I developed a mentality of, wow, somebody needs to help each and every one of these women coming out these doors so that they can truly have a second chance.
Absolutely. I definitely know and believe, and people do deserve another chance. We're going to be working on that second chance versus another chance, because we probably use our second chance by the time we're 5 years old. So it's always another chance, another opportunity.
Another chance.
And it sounds like
exactly.
Absolutely. We're going to get there. We're going to get you there. So and one of the things that you're teaching me from this call is the next time when I get you on here next week, I'm not going to send you the questions, because, you know, you kind of like to go into the next one before I was asking you or going to ask you at number three. Tell us about some of the day-to-day stuff, how you were treated and how you may have seen others treated. And this is a thing, Lori, that I want you to share with everyone, because, you know, we understand over 2.4 million people are incarcerated in the United States, okay? However,
right.
a lot of people don't really hear from women in prison and their experience. So
right.
as a woman that's home, and you got home yesterday at 8 a.m. in the morning, like, we'll talk about that part next week, but what are some of the things, how are you treated? How are the women treated? What's the difference you see in women in prison versus men in prison?
Oh, wow. It's probably a little bit of the same, but with the women, medical is the number one problem in all the prisons. Let's just make that clear. Medical could care less.
Mm-hmm.
You can get sick. I've watched four women within the three-year period, four women die from neglect of medical. Each one of these women, Jean Cox, Rosemary Afumi, Hazel McGarry, and Dee Nelson, each one of women went to medical and said, please don't let me die here. And seconds later, they allowed those women to die from medical neglect. They will not feel about you in prison. If you have a loved one in prison and they're calling home or they're calling somebody saying, help me, I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that, they're not seeing about me, please hear them. Call your senators, your governors, your congresswomen. Call somebody to get on them, because that's the only way they're going to jump and do anything. They will not see about you medically at all. You will die before they see about you, and then they don't see about you then. So that's a big thing there that I want to see about something being changed about how we're treated medically, because it goes against our constitutional right, for one, and it's not fair to be treated that way, for two. The second biggest thing is the food that they serve you. There is a company called West Provision. It's out of Amarillo, Texas. Those two guys that was sent had a contract with FBOP sending the food in. The food was tainted. The food was coded, made for zoo animals, not made for human consumption. It was cow hearts and all of these kind of things mixed together to make ground beef. Women would eat the food, and we would run right back to the unit and throw up. And I just had the sense to say, okay, no more of that. I just stick with my commissary. I won't eat this. But you have to think about it. Everybody don't have commissary. Everybody don't have family that's spending their money. So they got to eat. So they're going to eat what they're given. But the food is awful. They don't treat you right with the food. They don't go by the national menu. It's a lot of shortcuts they take that the government don't even know about, because nobody is letting them know. So, again, if you're listening and you have somebody that's incarcerated or know somebody, every once in a while, send them something. $10 goes a long way. Send them something, because it truly is needed. I, myself, I'm a giver. So when I saw older women didn't have anything and I was blessed to have my family support me and take care of me, I made sure others had, because that's just the type of person I am with the things that my husband and I do. But again, it's just a lot that the general public does not know that goes on behind those doors. how does an officer treat us? Oh my goodness, we'll be on here for days and days. You have some good ones, but then you have some bad ones. And when you have the bad ones, if you go against them, you're going to get retaliated against. So a lot of people just don't do anything or don't say anything because they don't want the retaliation. So it's a losing battle. It's a losing battle because you're like, do I do this or do I not do this? But the type of person I am, I'm going to stick up for my rights, whether you take me to that shoe, whether you put me outside in the dark, whatever you're going to do to me, you're going to do it to me because I know my rights. I'm going to stand up to you, and I'm going to stand up for my rights because at the end of the day, my rights are still going to win. You might mistreat me, but I'm going to stand up for my rights and not let you degrade me and treat me any kind of way.
Well, Lori, oh, girl, you actually name people that actually passed away. And I know when during times that those things happen, I remember you emailing and talking about someone was sick and, you know, they may die. And that it just got real, like literally, because guess what? You remember their name. You know, there's so many people in prison that pass away that die that they may not even have families and they're just a number.
Exactly.
But you know what? Thank you for that.
Right.
Thank you for respecting them and calling their name.
Yes.
There
are more. There are more sitting there now. I left a lady that just had a stroke, and medical told her to go back. There's nothing wrong with you. The lady is babbling. She just had a stroke, and nobody will listen to her. They told her, oh, you bleeding within your ear, but we don't have time for you right now. We're trying to take temperatures for COVID-19. They're not even taking temperatures for COVID-19. They don't even have a temperature. So there are still plenty of people right now that they're not even doing anything for.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lori, let me say this before I go on to the next question, just because I want to make sure we cover everything, and we'll be back on the next time. You know, this is a thing that I've always loved, admired, and respected about you and your husband. Because when you introduced me to him, and he is just you and him are one. You are the same person, and you guys have been helping people for over 30 years. And let me tell you, people can often tell you what they do and who they help, but let me tell you, the difference is when other people tell you, hey, this person does this. I have met so many women at the place where you were. Oh, God, that sounds so good that you were, okay? people who I didn't meet through you, but guess what? They said the same thing about you. She'll give you the shirt off her back.
Oh.
She's helpful. Somebody didn't know and I said this about you on the call a couple of days ago. You may not have been a litigator or a paralegal, but people that need legal help, you went and found somebody who did do legal help. Honey, you always been in ministry. You always been a philanthropist and a humanitarian, and that's exactly what you were at this place, always helping, running around, doing stuff. And I remember days and days, your husband, when he's sending you money weekly and monthly, he'll say, she's going to take this and she's going to give it away. That's just what my wife does. I'm just going to send her some more, send her some more. And you know what? And it's good. And it's good because we're blessed to be a blessing, and that's why you're going
to
always
have.
That's right. That's right. And that's who you are. And that's what I – thank you, Lori. Thank you so much for that. And you were amazing
received,
way before I met you.
Everything I received money-wise, I took the 10%. I started sending it to churches, and then I stopped. I said, you know what? God just wants us to give it back to him. So I'm going to give it back. So I would take the 10% of whatever my family sent me, and I would pick people. I said, okay, I'm going to do her this month. I'm going to do this one this month. I'm going to do this one. And I would go to them. I'd say, make me a $20 list. And they look at me, huh? Just do it. Make me a $20 list. For what? The commissary. What do you want? Who's going to get it? I am. Just make you a list. And it just blow them away. So I would always pick somebody that I know don't have nobody to call, don't have nobody to email. No, they're not going to get no money, so they don't even have a commissary bag. Why have a commissary bag when I can't call anybody? Nobody writes me. Nobody's going to email me. What do I need a commissary bag for? So I just had to do it.
Glory. All right. Let me go to number four, because we will be talking about that all day, and I know what your hot buttons, what your passion is, and I'm looking so forward to the future for the world to understand so we can get the help that's needed. So let's talk about COVID-19.
Okay.
I see that you made it home. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I remember when coronavirus hit and you were like, oh, I got to get up out of here. So talk to me, talk to us a little bit about being weeks, like less than a month from coming home and hearing we are in a pandemic. People are dying. Coronavirus is here. Talk to us about what you were thinking, what you were feeling. What did the prison do to keep you and other ladies safe?
Okay. I heard about the coronavirus, but I heard about it and didn't hear about it. I was busy running around like usual. But one day when they locked us down for 4 o'clock count, it was about 5:30, and we normally eat at 5. So we was like, what's going on? So next thing we know, we hear our counselor come out, and she let us know, ladies, day, you, and this was on March 26th. As of today, you all are on lockdown for COVID-19. We're like, lockdown? Well, when are we coming out? No time soon. You're on lockdown, and the warden will let you know something further. So that began it right there. We was on a 23-hour lockdown. Now, mind you, in this particular prison I'm in, there's 1,300 women in this particular prison. In each unit, there's 4 units per building. In each unit, there's 128 women, give or take, unless some people have gone home or whatever. So you're housed with 2 women. So it's me and another bunkie. So everybody is, like, going crazy because some people got bunkies that they really don't want to be with for 23 hours. So now people want to change bunkies, but I'm fine with my bunkie. She's a good bunkie. She was from Atlanta. So I was fine with my bunkie. So we get locked down. That day, they didn't let us out to shower, use the phones, or anything. So now we decide we're going to do like the men do, because we know what the men do when they raise holy hell in prison, they get what they want. We started banging on doors, just making a racket. Okay, look, we are women. We have to have showers. So that evening, the warden put out a letter to let us know that we would get out for an hour to email, shower, use the phone, whatever we need to do. Examine it after 2 weeks to see what was the outcome. Do we come out or what? By this time frame, we don't have no kind of chemicals. We don't have no kind of bleach. We definitely didn't have masks. Thank God for Jay-Z and Meek Mills, because they supplied the prisons with masks. So after the 14 days was up, we're thinking we're getting out. Now we hear some staff members have the coronavirus. We knew then, okay, if staff got it, we're not going anywhere. So they told us again, okay, you're going to be locked down for at least 30 more days. You're not coming out. Like you said, I'm in the midst of about to go home. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm running out, emailing you, emailing my husband, Randy. I'm like, I'm ready to go home. I don't know what's going on with this virus around here. Now that staff got it, the next thing we're hearing, 1 inmate got it, 2 inmates got it, 3 inmates got it, 4 inmates got it. Next thing we know, they actually brought in some real bleach. My particular unit was the best unit on the compound, thank you God. So we always took pride in caring for the unit. So every morning we had orderlies cleaning the unit. All you smell is bleach. We bleached everything we could bleach. I mean, whatever couldn't be bleached, it was bleached. We was bleaching, bleaching, bleaching. So finally, right before I got out, my counselor came to me and told me the Regents had sent out a list to all the prisons. They were, Attorney General Barr had authorized the prisons to let people go home on home confinement. Mind you, my home confinement was January the 9th, so I should have been home. So my counselor told me, "Say you are on the list." I said, "I'm on the list." He said, "Yeah, you're on the list." I said, "Okay, good." So they start passing out these papers for people to fill out to see if they can go home because of the coronavirus. Next thing you know, BOP changes all the plan. All these people that they have told, you're going home, now they're coming back saying, oh, well, because you got an incident report or because of this or that, you're not going home now. So now you got a lot of disappointed people that's really, really pissed off that you first told them they were going home because of the pandemic. Now they're not going home. Now I'm weighing down to like 21 20 days away from home. So I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. If it's the day in this room, I can do this. So that's basically how I survived the coronavirus, by continually being locked down. And I think nationwide is going to open up Monday to where they can come out the rooms and just be in the day rooms. They still can't go outside yet. So I did survive it by continually being locked down, quarantined, so to speak, with my blanket in my room.
Wow. You know, that's really a lot. And really, when we started sending information emails out to prisoners and families and stuff like that about the coronavirus, and people were sickly and dying. And I mean, I had grown men that were saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And then to hear about cases and people that passed away, it really got real. It really got real.
Yeah, it was very real. It was very real.
Absolutely. Lori, a lot, and I know you really already touched on this, you know, people often wonder, like, what in the world happens with women in prison? You know, you mentioned about homosexuality, you mentioned about drugs, you mentioned about different things. As families are listening right now, especially families who have a loved one that's incarcerated, especially a female, what can families do? Tell me about visitation. Like, what can families do to better help? What can we as a community do to better help women that are incarcerated?
Contact whoever you have incarcerated. Letters mean the world to these women. When they see that bag coming through that door, and after count, you hear women, are you going to do mail call? Did you check the mail? Do I have mail? Mail means, I think mail means a lot to them than money. Pictures, mail, pictures, all of this means a lot to people. There are so many people there don't ever get mail. They don't even get up to go to mail call because they already know, I'm not getting mail. Mail means a lot to somebody. Just to write them, that a letter means so much to a person. If you have a if your relationship is shaky with somebody, use this time now while we have been locked down, because I told everybody when I would come out, use this time as we're locked down, talk to God, get closer to God, see what he wants from us. Maybe this is a time to mend some broken relationships, because we are locked down. We had to, the world basically have stopped. So if the world has stopped, what do we need to do in this stopped world? So if you have relationships that need mending, maybe this is the time now to do that, because tomorrow is not promised to nobody. Even people in prison, they die daily. I say daily. They die. The world is not promised to nobody. You can't say, well, maybe when she get out, we'll make up. No. Make up now. I was just thinking about you. Yes, you might have hurt me, but you know what? We're going to put that in the past. What are you doing with yourself? What are you taking programs? How are you doing? This particular prison didn't have a whole lot of programs. I took 42 programs and courses while I was there within 18 months, and that's it. There's nothing else to do. But a lot of women didn't have a desire to take it until the First Step Act came, but then they knew they can get their time credit, so now everybody wants to take a class. But don't just take a class just to get the credit. Take a class to learn something that you can take out of there with you when you leave.
You're right. Now, let me ask you to expound on two things. You mentioned that you guys didn't have masks and they were donated. Tell me a little about that campaign, and then talk a little bit about the ladies that's incarcerated that are actually under immigration, that has immigration issues.
Okay, as concerned, we probably was out we were locked down about 2 weeks before we even had masks. And next thing we know, they come around with the box and everything. And a friend of mine emailed me and told me, she asked me, did you all get masks? I said, as a matter of fact, we got them today. She said, well, JC and Meek Mills are the ones that provided the mask. I told everybody. I shouted it out because I think that's something we need to thank them for. So thank God that they supplied masks to the federal prisons, I think state prisons as well. So they give them out every 2 weeks now. They'll change them out. You throw the one they give you away, and they'll give you a new one. So every 2 weeks they have been consistent with doing the mask. As far as immigration
let me say this,
goes,
and not to cut you off, Laura, but let me say, I'm going to post this link in our bio because actually I wanted to find an article. It says Jay-Z and Meek Mill sending 10 million surgical masks to U.S. jail and prisons. And there's actually, with a $10 million boost from Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, Jay-Z and Meek Mill Criminal Justice Organization Reform Alliance is sending 10 million surgical masks and other personal protective equipment to correctional facilities across the country. Now, that's huge. And Lori, and we're going to talk about immigration in a second, but you know, and all the time I've known you, I got all your emails, girl, and you're always reviewing information. This is huge because guess what? This is a personal touch. And people that have resources and means to do this, the Federal Bureau of Prisons makes a whole lot of money off prison profiteering, and they didn't even do this. You understand what I'm saying? And you got two, exactly. And you have these guys under their organization care enough about doing this. And you basically, you had a mask because of what, because of their efforts.
That because of their efforts, not from the BOP.
Amazing.
Not from them that should have supplied me. You know, they was telling you on the news that we was taken care of, but we wasn't. No, that was a lie. That was a lie. We were not good. We did not have enough chemicals. We did not have enough supplies. No, stop the lies. No, we did not. We did not. We did not have the mask until Jay-Z and Meek Mill sent the mask.
Okay. That's amazing. Okay. I'm going to post this link in our bio on this episode. Now, talk to us a little about the immigration.
Immigration. FCI Aliceville is really an immigration center. It's, like I said, it's 1,300 women at the FCI, 250 at the camp, which is across the street from us. So out of the 1,300 women at the FCI, there may be 800 women, that's immigration. The rest are black and white. So immigration, when they leave there, Louisiana picks them up to take them back to Louisiana to go in front of a judge there. So a lot of those young ladies are terrified because now with everything that's going on in Louisiana, I know you've heard about FCI Oakdale, that's the men prison. With everything that's going on over there, the judges have stopped court. So now these women, they're finished with us. Their time is up with us. But now they're going to immigration, and they're being told they may not see a judge to November. Some may not even see them for a year. So now they're sitting here doing extra time to see if they're going to get deported or if they're going to get a bond to be able to stay if they have a visa.
That's a whole nother issue and incident. And like you just said
it
about
is.
800 women. Now, Lori, you know, I'm excited, of course, about having you on here because it's been a long time coming. You know, a lot of times, you know, people meet and we talk about taking over the world and it's just really words. However, I know you've been doing this for a very long time. So the next question is going to be very loaded and we can't be on here all night long, but I want you to tell us. I know. I wish we could, though, but we got a lot of time ahead to do that. But now that you're home, like you're home at your house with your husband eating crab legs, fussing about nobody having on a mask, being pampered and all that. And you know what? And the fact is, you came home yesterday, so I'm glad that you agreed to even come on here today because you could have still been honeymooning, getting yourself together, and so on. And let me tell you, the funny thing, and this is a sidebar, but my phone rung yesterday, and you know, you were in Alabama, which is on Central Time, and I'm on Eastern Standard Time. So my phone rang yesterday, I guess it was around 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And I answered the phone thinking it was you calling from your husband's phone, and it was him. I'm like, oh, you're not Lori. He said, I'm waiting for my baby to come out the doors and blah, blah, blah. And I was so sleepy, right? But I said, he said, I know you're sleepy, Tawanda. I said, yeah, I am sleepy, but this is Lori. I'm going to sacrifice. This is my sister. So, yeah, I'm going to hold you down until she come out, right? But girl, we were talking about all types of stuff, right? And when he thought he saw you come out that door, he said, oh,
no,
there she goes.
He did see me.
Well,
I had to get to the door because
Well, bottom line is the phone hung up. I said, damn, use me for 30 minutes, and she come out, he just hang up the phone, because he said, he's not going to tell you this, right? He said, I'm so excited, I don't know what, like, do I get out, do I give a handshake, do I hug her? You know, I know it's a pandemic, and I don't want to think I'm crazy. He said, I don't really know what I do. He said, I'm just pray about it, and whatever the Lord lead me to do. I'm like, Randy, you like a kid in the candy store right now, brother.
He truly was. Walked up on him because he sent my clothes in. He sent me a sundress. So when I got to R&D and they saw it was a sundress, they saw, this is too seductive. You can't wear this sundress. This is too seductive. I say, you know what? I will go out just like I am. Give him a dress. Give him a shoe. That's fine. I will wear this gray shirt. And what else we need to do? He's okay. We're leaving in 5 minutes. It was me and another young lady that left. So when he saw the two, me and her, come out, he's expecting me to be in the black and white dress, but I was still in my shorts and my gray. So he looked up and he's like, okay, that's not her. And he was still talking to you. Meanwhile, I'm coming out with box loads of stuff, heavy. And I told the young lady, I said, that's not like my husband not to get out and help me carry my boxes. So by the time I get to the truck and I'm trying to open the door, he looks up like, oh, it's you. And then he sticks you out.
Oh, yeah, click me off. Didn't say, thank you, Tawanda, for holding me down for 30 minutes. Just click me off. But go ahead.
Yeah.
What did he say, though? Did he get out? Was he scared to touch you? I mean,
no,
oh, yeah. And then I said, Randy, spray her with Lysol. He said, I couldn't look no Lysol.
I think then he was like, oh, my gosh, I wanted to be out for her. So when he jumped out, I'm got all these boxes, and he jumped out with 24 roses. And I got boxes all in my own. So I couldn't even get the roses because I've got all this stuff that I brought out of there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was amazing. So he had the roses for you. But then guess what? I'm told at home was some rose petals. Did he lay
all the way up to the door?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yes.
That's another call. All right, so listen. Lori, I need you to come back, Lori.
Okay, I'm back.
All right,
okay.
So now that you're home,
yeah.
I got the email now of all your plans, right? So what are your plans? So what's next for you? What are your plans? Like, I understand today you hadn't even been home 24 hours yet, so we're going to get you through the weekend. And the world is still under crisis, so you can't really come out. But And we're going to have you back on again, so don't tell too much, but give us an idea. You've been through a lot in the last 3 years. So what are some of the things that's on your heart that that you're looking to do? Lori Brown, what is the world going to be expecting from you? What can we get?
The world can be expecting opening options reentry. This is a program that I created while I was in prison. What this program is going to do, anybody that's incarcerated, that's coming out of prison, no matter what state you're in, if you're willing to relocate to Atlanta, we will be able to help you find a job, housing, and transportation so that you can have another chance. Been working on for the past 3 years. And within the last 6 months, I kind of added another little click to it. I started it out as crime-free kid, but then I thought everybody's not a kid. So I changed it to crime-free youth. And what I want to do is get the involvement of a lot of polices. And we get with youth, boys and girls. A lot of time, people don't realize that when younger people are incarcerated, their kids are being bullied at school. Randy and I provide toys for children of incarcerated parents, and even while I was locked up, Randy kept this going, and you know it as well too. One lady came to me. We gave her daughter some toys, and one lady came to me and she told me, she said, thank you. She said, here's a picture of my daughter with what your husband sent to her. She said, She say, tell you the bullying has stopped because she actually let the kids know, just because my mom is in prison, look what my mom did for me. And she said, because she was actually able to show somebody that, yeah, my mom might be in prison, but look what my mom did for me, they stopped bullying her. There was another young lady that said that her daughter was suicidal. Kids was bullying her, that her mom was in prison. So I want to connect with children like this so that we don't continue with a cycle. Most of the time when a parent or both parents are incarcerated, 9 times out of 10, that child is going to fall along the wayside as well, and they're going to wind up incarcerated. This is where we got to catch our youth. We have got to start investing in our youth, seeing what their talents, what their gifts are, and we work on that talent and gift and help them. By the time they're 18, they got their own little something going. They don't need to go the opposite way because they're working on whatever their gift or talent is to take them to the next level. So those are the two things I'm working on right now. Later on, I'm going to be working on a transitional house, but right now I'm more focused on opening options reentry as far as helping anybody coming out of prison get a job, housing, and transportation.
Absolutely. So basically, the movement and the fight continues. So you never stop helping. Absolutely. It definitely has to.
I can't. I definitely can't now.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to come on here today. Just getting home. No, you're absolutely. And I know everybody wants to talk to you. Everybody wants to see you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. And there's just so much to do. So I'm looking forward to us building and continue to help people throughout the community, throughout the city, throughout the state. And, of course, we're looking for more people that want to help as well, because there's always more need and then help and then resources.
Yes.
And, of course, money.
Yes.
So I know we're going to be looking for resources that can help people, and I know you're going to be sharing some information. So I'm looking forward to that. As we close out today, my sister, my friend, what is it that you want to leave everyone with?
Just continue to love everybody. Like I say, everybody make mistakes, but let's continue to build this bridge. Let's love everybody. Let's help end mass incarceration. It's time out for that. This is slavery. It is time out for that. They women are locked up 18, 20 years for ghost dope. Do you all know what ghost dope means? Guess what a ghost is? That's what ghost dope is. You're right.
Mm.
Oh, okay, Tawanda, you knew Lori? Lori was the drug dealer? Oh, okay, but I tell you what, Tawanda, since you knew the drug dealer, we're going to get you for conspiracy with ghost dope, and you get 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's like we've got to break these cycles. We have got to
reach
government and get these things changed. We have got to end mass incarceration. So just because I just got out yesterday, I cannot just sit back and not do. I'm still fighting. My bed is full of who's going to be called on Monday, who I'm reaching out to on Tuesday. These are the things I'm doing. I've called family members to tell them, hey, your loved one is sick. You need to call this congresswoman because they're going to let her die. And they are grateful. I'm still at it. I'm still at it. I'm not there, but I'm fighting for the ones back there. I'm still
That's
at
right.
it.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
I'm still at it. And men, too. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for the men, too. I'm fighting for all of us. It's 175,000 of us. I'm fighting for all of us.
Glory. All right, you guys. You have it. This is Lori Brown sharing her story, her life, the last 3 years, some of her plans, and hopefully you've definitely learned something. And guess what? This is the first of many times that you're going to hear her on here sharing information, because what she told me over 3 years ago, and she's been telling me weekly, hey, when I get home, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the voice and information and sharing what's actually going on. And the fact that she's been doing this over 30 years, she cares about people. And this is what we want to hear. These are the type of people we want to have on our show to share information. Our vision through Another Chance is to strengthen families, and this will help strengthen families. Our vision is to teach people. We want to be able to share information and resources so people can understand and can learn, because when we know better, we'll do better. We want to also advance the mind. We want to reach the lost, and we want to serve our community communities, and we can do that as we work together, joining hands, one from another, all types of companies and industries and organizations and people who truly care. So, Lori, thank you again for joining us today. Our time is up.
Thank you.
However, we're just getting started, my sister. God bless you. I love you from my heart to yours.
I love you,
too. And I can't wait to cyber hug you or see you or whatever sometime today or tomorrow. All right, ladies.
Bring it back.
Absolutely. I got him. All right. God bless you and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.